Praise God. Well, today we're on part two of Standing on a Firm Foundation. We're going to spend a few minutes here reviewing from last week and getting into a little more depth. And then I want to edge into the second part, which will continue next week, because it kind of goes together. But say this with me. My ears are blessed, for they hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. My eyes are blessed, for they see through faith. My heart is blessed, for it brings forth that which is good. My hands are blessed, for they carry healing. My feet are blessed, for they walk in the paths of righteousness. My voice is blessed, for I speak the words of life. My mind is blessed, for it dwells in God's thoughts toward me. My life is blessed. My Father has redeemed me. Doesn't that feel good? Oh, I see. Got a brand new Kleenex down there. I'd blow my nose, but the microphone picks it up and... So our text in this series, A Firm Foundation, is found in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll start there in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. King James says a rock. This says the rock, and that's the true translation, is the rock, talking about Jesus. Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not, or does not do them, will be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So by way of review, we talked about this, that Jesus identifies, personally identifies with doers of the word. Look at verse 24. He says, I will liken him. I will liken him. That means he will describe you. He will identify you. He will define you as a wise person. We're not talking about any kind of wisdom, man's wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom of God here. I will liken him. And you don't really notice that until you read verse 26, where he leaves I will out. Did you ever notice that? Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened. In other words, he'll let the world define you. He'll let your own way and your own ego and your own will define you or liken you. Amen? You can turn a deaf ear to God. He still loves you. And you can always turn back to him. As long as you're on this side of the grave, you can turn back to him. Amen? His mercy endures. Hey. You know... I'm not going to go into that. I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains came, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat it, and beat it, and beat it. And you know what? Didn't bother the house at all, because it was founded on a rock. You know, this is why James says, count it all joy. Amen? Because you're gonna win going into this thing. You are a winner going into it. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from the standpoint that the victory's already been won. Amen. That you are in that camp when you do the word, and you are the winner. And Jesus says, hey, winner, come here. Winner, come here. Let me crown you let me give you a trophy, let me honor you, because you did my word. You got to understand something about this. You got to catch this. Because he says, when I will liken you unto a wise man. This is vitally important to understand that when you honor God's word by being a doer of the word, when you're standing on the word by being a doer of the word, that you have the head of the church who is seated at the right hand of God, the one who is one and the same with the word that created the entire universe, who stood up before 500 men and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when you do his word, he is there in the action. And he's got all of heaven behind him, and you have him and all of heaven behind you when you're a doer of the word. You cannot fail. You cannot go wrong. Say, well, what if I do it wrong? So what? You're doing his word as you know it to do. And you know what? This is what grace is all about. The entire New Testament is built on it. Grace and truth came through Jesus. The law came from Moses. But Jesus fulfilled that, and now it's grace and truth. You believe in him? And you walk in that love for him, don't worry about the 10. You're not going to break them if you're walking in love. Love is the fulfillment of the entire law. That was three of you. If you walk in love, you will not fail. If you do his, and what does he say? That's the only commandment that he gave us. That you love one another as I have loved you. And we haven't done that yet. We're going to, right? Yes. Okay? We're going to do that, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. There's a world of, there's this absolute universe of difference between being a doer of the word and a hearer only. That's a universe apart. Pregnant pause. Let that sink. You see, faith without works is dead. Yeah. Did you know there's a living faith and there's a dead faith? Mm-hmm. A dead faith does not act on the word of God. James 2:26 says this. It says, look at this. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, what does that James 2:26 say? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. It's the same thing. Have you ever seen a dead person walking around? Have you ever seen a dead bird? dead bird. A dead dog, a dead person. Have you ever seen any of them just kind of get up and dance or something? No, they're dead. Well, that's faith without works. Works is the spirit. Faith is the spirit that gives life to what you do. It just backs everything you do. Faith without works is dead. It says this in let's go to verse 20. And we'll start there. God's going to let me get out of this. Answer that. Here, let me. No. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not our father justified by works when he offered Isaac on the altar? In other words, his faith was justified by what he did. That's what he's saying. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect or mature or had its fulfillment? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. There's a big word here I want you to know, because I want you to identify with Jesus this way. Identify with God this way. Identify yourself with the New Testament and the covenant of God this way. Where was that thing? Can we go back? Verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. In the Old Testament, your faith was put to your account. It's an accounting term that says you're accounted righteous. That doesn't mean you are righteous. You're accounted righteous. Big difference here. Can we, I'll just quote it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. That he who knew no sin was made to be sin. He wasn't just accounted with sin. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be accounted, that we might be made, the King James says, and many other translators say, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, when you believe in Jesus, you are made righteous with his righteousness, which means that you have right standing with God. You can go before God without a glint in your eye and know that you're totally accepted. This is the way you got to walk. Right's the way righteousness walks. I will walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. His name was given to me. Jesus said, go in my name. In my name, cast out devils. In my name, lay hands on the sick. He had conferred his name, which operates all of heaven. All heaven answers that name, and everything in the earth will answer to that name. And as we walk in that name, I'm talking about being a doer of the word. Okay, back to the review. So the first thing is, Jesus personally identifies with the doers of the word. There are so many benefits to this, but I want you to know that you cannot fail by doing the word. Let me finish that by saying this. The two greatest gaps in life are hearing and doing, and the other one is wanting or desiring and having or possessing. The first gap is hearing and doing. A big gap there. But I'll tell you what, if you close that gap, the second gap will close automatically because you will start to have what you desire when you do what you hear. That should have got a rip-roaring amen. I mean, I'm talking rip-roaring dance and music. Amen to that. Because it's so simple, but yet so not done. Or you can go around desiring everything you want and never have it. Do you want that?
No.
Well, then do the word. And when you do what you hear, that gap will close and that gap will close. Number two, storms came to both of these houses. Just because you're righteous, just because you are the righteousness of God in Christ, just because you are born again, totally recreated in your spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, tongue-talking, gift moving in, person on the earth of God, you're not exempt from trials, tribulations, tests, or temptations. You're not exempt from those. Jesus himself was tempted. So if you're tempted, temptation and sin are two different things. If sin is being tempted with sin, then Jesus would have been a sinner. So look, oh, this is floating nice, isn't it? Are you guys here today?
Yes.
Good. Okay. I need to hear from you. I love to hear your voices. That's all. It's like a mother, like a bird when it's feeding. It's and the mouths are like this and they're chirping and everything. That's the way we like to hear you. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Pick a lot, talk a little more. Okay. Storms came to both of these houses. You know, you live in a fallen, broken, chaotic world, right? nature itself, weather, every systems, everything has been out of whack ever since the fall. Deal with it. But if you do what God says to do and you build your life on the word of God, on him who is the word of God, that is the rock. When the storms come, you'll be prepared for it. When the storms come, you'll outlast the storm. You'll be standing when everybody else is washed away. Because why? Because you did what he said to do. You will withstand the forces of this world if you build your house on the word of God, on the rock. Jesus went through tests and trials and temptations. You know, the Apostle Paul listed all of his trials. So, I mean, come on. Just because you have a trial doesn't mean you're going to have a bad day. You can count it all joy because you're a winner going into this thing. And the devil has to flee if you resist him. You know, you've got an entire covenant backed by blood, angels, and everything else. If you resist him, steadfast in the faith, he will flee from you. That's because it's his word. So number one, Jesus will identify with you as you do the word. That means the Father identifies with you too. Storms came to both houses. The storm, the house that stood, is the one that's built on the word of God. Number three is you'll never be alone. He is on the scene, present with you at all times. And this is unconditional. He said, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. If, there's no if. He said that, right? So you can turn away from him, walk, do your own thing. Take, you know, write your own plans, go in the career you want to go and do everything you want to do. And you can mess your life up. Maybe it'll work out good for you. Who knows? But there are storms coming. And if you're not planted and built on the word of God, guess what's going to happen? That one storm that's designed for you will blow you off your rocker. But if you build it on the rock, it cannot. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. God's will is built right into his word. When you build on that, you're never alone. He himself will be there. And then the fourth thing is, when we do what Jesus says to do, Jesus calls that wisdom. Doesn't he? He calls that wisdom. If you want wisdom, do the word. Look at this. Wisdom will also, I mean, there's more, God wrote more about wisdom in the Bible than you'll ever understand in 100 lifetimes or 1,000 lifetimes, because wisdom is eternal, his wisdom. It goes as far forward as you can imagine and back. It goes to either side, above you, but it's eternal. You cannot measure it. If there was ever a time that could be measured, it would just increase. That's how eternal it is. Look at this. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, it says, he who wins souls is wise. This will help you fulfill the Great Commission, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Now, it'll help you fulfill the Great Commission because it takes wisdom. You can't just go knock on a door. They knock on our door. These are Baptists. Thank God for the Baptists, man. They'll get you saved. But here, and they'll show you the what is that, the laws, the Roman road, yeah. The Roman road, yeah, that's right. And things like that. Bless their hearts. They mean well. But it takes wisdom to save a soul. It takes wisdom to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus. It takes wisdom, and that wisdom has an anointing on it that will show you the key it is that will unlock their heart, kick in the gates of hell around their mind, and explode in revelation knowledge to them. That's what it takes, that. Because if you can just talk somebody into something, the next guy that comes along can just talk them right out of it. But if they receive that wisdom of God and the anointing, it will stay forever. They won't be able to get rid of it. It'll also streamline all of your other activities in life. Your job, your career, your relationships, everything. It'll help you. Look at this in Ecclesiastes 10:10. I'm still getting over that mother's thing. Isn't that sweet? If the axe is dull, listen to this, and one does not sharpen the edge, he then must use more strength. But wisdom, what? Wisdom is the sharp edge that does its own strength. You just drop the axe and let gravity do the rest. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
And this will help you in every area of life. Wisdom. Wisdom is the sharp edge you need. Right now, the entire business world is going through a complete reformation. Markets are changing. Everything is changing because one man got elected. And he is changing the model of everything. I'm telling you, it's exciting. It's really exciting to watch. And then the rest of the world turns on the view. And then it became obvious what President Trump said at the congressional thing when he said, we didn't need to change a law. All we needed was a new president. You know, what he was saying was true. I mean, it was a slam on the previous administration, but they did well enough to slam it for us and everybody else. They didn't care about us. All they wanted to do was have power. And they did everything to try to lock him up. Anyhow, it didn't work. Why? Because he's anointed and he has the wisdom of God surrounding him. He has good counsel. And he developed the Department of Faith. What is that? The Faith Department. And what's her name?
Paula White.
Paula White, yeah. That's a woman of God, I'm telling you. I mean, she's had a tough time, but she's good. Praise God. Where am I here? Okay. So number one, Jesus personally identifies with you when you do the word. So if you have a decision, if I do that, there's no if. Take the if out and just do it. Amen. If I do that, praise God, I'll be blessed. He that does the work shall be blessed in his deed. So Jesus personally identifies with it. So you are looking at the presence of Jesus in everything you do when you do the word of God. Doers of the word will be prepared and able to withstand the forces of this world, spiritual forces as well as natural forces. Number three is you'll never be standing alone. You'll never walk alone, will you? You will be walking in the highest, purest wisdom when you do the word. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to brush into this before we have about, 15 minutes here? I want to brush into part two, which is called wrestling. Wrestling. How many of you wrestle with thoughts, emotions, temptations, trials, tests, the unknown, the uncertainties of the future and everything? How many of you wrestle with relationships, wrestle with whatever? Here it says, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your own strength. In the power of his, this is the Kratos of his Ishkus. This is the muscle behind his force. Be strong in his muscle. Where does that come from? It comes from the word of God. Strong in the Lord and power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, what does it say? We wrestle. This is the lifestyle of the believer. There's wrestling involved. And if there's no wrestling, you're walking the wrong way. If you're not wrestling with it, you never incur any temptations, tests, or trials. Maybe you're walking the same way as the devil. because his job is to throw every trial, every test, every temptation he can to get you to drop the word. He can't take it from you. You need to drop it. Do you ever notice that? He throws persecution and affliction at you. Why? For the word's sake. The cares of this life, lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches. He'll make sure you get all of that in your head and let your mind start wandering off. Oh, yeah, well, if I had that, then I could do that. And you start to lust after things. It's lust of other things, of comfortable life. God will never give you a life that does not require faith. Oh, this is a good design. This is a really good, this is his design. And it is, it's an amazing system that he created because he's always wide open for you. And he's, you know, Jesus will never lie to you, never string you along. He'll always tell you the exact truth. And if it hurts, change. If the truth hurts, change. You can do that. Called repent. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are not our enemies. If you crush, see, people that we perceive as our enemies are not our enemies. They are the ones who are in bondage, who are subject to the demons that are controlling them. You trample and crush those demons. That's the first step in getting them freed. And if you free them and you won them from the enemy, all of a sudden they're your friend. And you've solved a whole lot of problems by doing that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, and the darkness of the darkness of the world, against spiritual. Four againsts here. Against principality, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, why? Therefore, take unto or put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand! Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You notice here, he identifies our warfare, that we are in a war, we wrestle, who the enemy is and who the enemy is not. And then he says, put on the armor of God. Before you even pray, do this. Put on the armor of God. Talk to your head. The helmet covers all of those thoughts. And the enemy's accusations will bounce right off them, because your head is protected. It also calls it the hope of salvation. It also, you're keeping your hope protected with that helmet of salvation. You know, the helmet of salvation, the reason he did it, the helmets of the Romans were really beautifully decorated. They had horse, they took like horse tail, that stuff, and that are horses' tails, and they'd put it out, and it would be a flowing thing, and it would be, they would wear this thing with, I represent the Roman government. When you put that salvation helmet on, you represent the kingdom of the living God and everything that he is. That helmet, that hope that he's given you. Helmet of salvation. Having your loins, the belt of truth. That belt holds the breastplate, holds the sword, the shield in place. It holds everything in place. All the other armor. And one thing is with that breastplate of righteousness, it's the one piece of armor that a Roman soldier never took off. They slept in it. It was too hard to get on and off, so they would sleep in that breastplate of righteousness. It never came off. you may have shipwrecked your whole life, but I'm telling you, that breastplate never stopped. It never stopped. It never left you. This is good stuff. Are you getting anything out of this today? I'm glad I came, because I'm getting stuff out of this today. Sometimes this, you know, you get, it's like being next to the telegraph thing, and it's going and I'm getting this hot off the wire. So, shield of faith. If you are suffering from accusations from the enemy, condemnation, guilt, that's one of his primary things. Guilt and condemnation. You'll never. Oh, not you. No, they're okay, but not you. You know, see, they got stuff together, but you, ever since you were born, you were created wrong. I mean, there's no end to this stuff. And he keeps on throwing this things at you. The shield of faith. If it will quench all of that stuff. That's why he gave it to you. And what is faith comes by how? Hearing the word of God. What does God say about this? What does God say about you? What does God say about your spirit, your soul, your body? That they are sanctified holy until the coming of God. You know, that God is in this situation. This is what he did with Adam and Eve. He twisted the word. You know, it says in 1 John 2:16, it says this. Do I have that up there? Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is a dividing line here. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world's passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, you'll be standing when after the fire hits it. You'll be standing. Look at Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Let's go to verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, that means crafty, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God never said that. He said, don't eat it. He didn't say anything about touching it. She added to the word. What's that called? It's watering it down. Concentrate on what he said. Verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. They already were like God. And he talked them out of that. Your identity is in Christ. Don't let the devil talk you out of that. He that is in the Lord is one spirit with him. You are one. Your spirit man is Jesus, wall to wall, Holy Spirit, God. And Jesus said, my and my Father will come and dwell in them. And when the woman, here's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. In that order, too. She saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh. And it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. And a tree desired to make one wise. That's the pride of life. You know, Lucifer was wise. I mean, he was right there guarding the throne of God, singing, leading worship to the throne of God. He was, you talk about wisdom that he forfeited because he boiled over with jealousy. Because for the first time in the world, there was somebody created who was just like God. Spirit, soul, and body. And he couldn't stand it. He could not bear it. You know, I know that there's many theories about how that all started. I believe that Adam and Satan fell at the same time. It's the only thing that really makes sense. Not a debate. God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, man, she's starting to go. And good for food, it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desire to make one wise. Well, that rhymes. You want to make a song on that. Verse 7, this was the extreme disappointment right here. And now listen to this. And she ate and gave it also to her husband who was with her. So she took of the tree and ate it and gave it to her husband who was with her. Don't blame Eve. Adam was standing right there. Amen. And he knew full well what was going on. He had authority to do something about it, and he didn't use his authority. He had dominion in the earth, and he could have taken authority over the whole thing, but he didn't. He's going, yeah, maybe. There's a lot of lessons to be learned in that, and I'm not going to get into it. But the thing is, look, take authority over your eyes, over your heart, over your mind, over your future, over everything. Just, you have dominion. You are the priest and prophet of your life. And what you say, when you use the word of God and you stand on the word of God, your wrestling days, well, your wrestling matches will be shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Will you continue to wrestle? Yeah, as long as you're in the world. There's no end to that. We wrestle. Not with people, but with principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. How does the devil rule the world? Because he's so powerful? No. He goes to kings, presidents, senators, congresspeople, and he gets them to make the laws that he wants. Make it easier for him and his demonic horde to get in there and ruin things. This country was on the way to ruin. Really, and if it went on that way, we'd be speaking Chinese or Russian, either one of those, pretty soon, because it would have been taken over. Yes. It's not going to happen now. Not because I say so, but because God founded this nation for a purpose that has not yet been fulfilled. Even though 90% of the gospel comes out of this world, out of this country, we need to understand God's in this thing. I'm going to read you another translation of that. Did I put it in here? Well, forget it. I'm not going to read it. But J.B. Phillips has a translation of that 10 through 18 in Ephesians. The power of his might. Oh, yeah, here it is. In conclusion, he says, be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord, in the power of his boundless resources. Put on God's armor, complete, so that you can successfully resist all the devil's methods of attack. All of his methods. For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power. And that even when you have fought to a standstill, you may still stand your ground. Take your stand with the truth as your belt and so forth, and it goes through the armor of God. But you get a little different. Does that widen an understanding for you? Next week we're going to continue this, and we're going to hook it in with praying always with all prayer, all kinds of prayer. There's not just one prayer, there's all different kinds of prayers for different applications, different reasons. But we'll get into that then. Did you get anything out of that today?
Yeah.
Okay. Ask God to reveal things to you. Walk by revelation and not by head knowledge. And because once something is revealed to you, it's yours. The devil cannot talk you out of it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that our plan going from here is to start building ourselves and finishing the work that you gave us in your word, the direction that you give us. When it says to love and forgive, that we love and forgive. When it says to believe you, we trust you and believe you. When it gives us to do's, Lord, we're not going to just let that flow by, but we're going to take it to heart. Lord, we ask that you anchor us in these truths so that we are able to stand against the wiles of the enemy while we're here in this earth. Let us go forth in victory with the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Blessed are our feet. Oh, thank you, Father, for they carry us through and cause us to walk in the paths of righteousness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.